The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to Problem Corner. Melissa here in the studio. I know it's not your typical spiel that you're used to hearing on Problem Corner. Today's guest, we have Mr. Kirk Maynard. Turn things over to you, sir.
Howdy. Thanks, Melissa. Yes, Mr. David Pruse is out for the week, sunning himself in Hawaii, getting some vitamin D. So, lucky guy. So, yeah, we thought we'd fill in. I got to tell our listeners, I thought we were filling in for his Fairbanks foodies. And so I'd originally gone to Erica, who's a guest here we'll introduce in a moment, a roaming route, and asked her to be on Fairbanks foodies. And then I was clarified that I'm on the show. So
problem.
So I thought to myself, I was talking to my wife, I'm like, why do you think Erica opened the store in the first place? And she said, well, probably issues with getting locally sourced ingredients. And so I'm like, yes, it is a problem. So thanks for coming on board. I know you're busy on Monday, so
thank
I appreciate you,
you
being here. So we're here with Erica. Is it
Moeller?
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to make sure I pronounced that correctly. She is the owner of Roaming Root Cellar, located over in West Fairbanks in, what is the mall called?
It's the Chena Pump Plaza.
Chena Pump Plaza. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm born and raised here. I should know that.
That's all right. There's too many of them to keep straight.
Thank you so much. And yeah, that is the topic today. The problem getting locally sourced ingredients for us living up in the Arctic.
Yeah.
So first, do you mind telling us a little bit about yourself? How did you get up to Fairbanks? And then how did you come to opening a store like this?
Sure. So I moved up here in 2013. I was an officer in the Army, a logistics officer. And so my training up to that point had all been in supply chain management and, transportation, logistics, things like that. So I moved up here. I was working on Fort Wainwright. And when I got out, I decided that I kind of wanted to feed people. And, I developed a love for local food when I was stationed in Germany. They have just the coolest way. I mean, there are still bakeries, on the corner of the little town plaza where you can get your fresh bread every morning. And there's like butcher shops that have been in the family for hundreds of years, that kind of thing. So my love for local food kind of was developed there. When I left the Army, I decided I wanted to do something about that. So my husband and I started a hobby farm that we kind of tried to do for money or feel it out for, to see if we could make a living off it. And the bottom line was there was absolutely no way that it was going to pay the bills. And we were never going to be able to quit our day jobs. So we were essentially signing up to work two full-time jobs. And through that process, I met a few farmers, talked to them, learned a little bit about some of the obstacles that they face. And that's when it kind of, I had that light bulb moment. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, we need to create a space where farmers can sell outside of the farmer's market. And it just kind of snowballed from there.
So is that the main problem they were having, is how to get their product out?
Yeah.
In another venue other than the farmer's market?
Yeah, and I want to be really, there are other businesses in town that support Alaska Grown. The Bull Company, Alaska Feed Company, the co-op market, they do a good job. But their focus, with the exception of the co-op, whose focus is food, the co-op's focus isn't Alaskan-grown food, right? So there was more farmers, I think, than there were venues to be able to sell it through.
Mm-hmm.
The farmer's market is a wonderful asset to this town, and it's exciting. I feel like every year there's a new farmer's market that is started in a different area of Fairbanks on a different day, which is great. But there were still farmers, come September, the farmer market, they all close. So I wanted to create something that was a year-round, accessible way, because we have so many crops that store through the winter. I'm still selling fresh produce. So I wanted to create an area for the farmers to be able to grow that and people to be able to find it.
That's so wild. And I'm surprised that you can still get product, and we'll talk about your different products in a moment here. So sorry. So what products can you actually get in the wintertime? Is it?
So the stuff that we have that's actually grown and harvested fresh right now are mushrooms, lettuce, microgreens, and some herbs, right? That's kind of about it. We do get fresh oysters once a month, and I'm looking at getting fresh kelp. So those will be, like, you know, harvested, sent up, you know, that kind of thing, and the actual technical definition of fresh. The rest of the stuff that we have, the potatoes, the carrots, the beets, I think we just went through our last cabbages. We have a couple of spaghetti squash left, parsnips we have, some turnips. Those were all harvested, you know, in September, and they are stored. And they can store, honestly, if we were to grow enough food to continue feeding people, you could store it all the way until next year when the fresh stuff came out of the ground again. It is possible to do that.
That's so wild.
It's like the lower 48 with silos. You know, they store all their stuff in silos, and they have plenty for a whole year.
Exactly.
Yeah. It works the same way.
Exactly. As long as the temperature's right, the moisture level's right, and you don't have a lot of light. Usually light is like a triggering factor for the plants to, you know, regenerate some growth. As long as it's cool, dark place, they'll keep.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
Considering.
Yeah.
I mean, you think, I mean, that was September that you harvested. Here we are in the middle of February, and it's still all nice and fresh.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy. And it still tastes just as good.
Yeah, there you go.
And I was taking some notes thinking about, you know, why should people support local farmers, local food? So some notes, strengthening the community, you know, the local economy, families. The produce has got to be at, you know, peak flavor, nutrition.
Oh, absolutely.
When it's on, and it's got to be healthier for you. I'm guessing it's safer, and I saw on your website, and maybe you can expand on the local goodness in a moment. But I'm sure the local food's got to be better for you than what's coming up. And if you can expand on, you know, where it originates, where it comes from, how long it travels. I do remember going to a farm out in Esther. It helped me out with it.
Probably Calypso.
Calypso.
Yeah.
And they have a really good information piece on tomatoes.
Yes.
On tomatoes coming from wherever. Maybe they come from in South America?
I think it depends on, you know, the time of year and the grocery store and things like that. But they do come from all over the world.
And what stages it goes through by the time it gets to Fairbanks and versus locally grown. It was a big eye opener for me and for the children. And I think just when you buy local food, it kind of coincides with a healthy eating pattern too. So it's just, it's all sorts of good in my opinion. But what is on your website again? It's I think you had local goodness.
Local goodness. It's
it was really, really, really interesting. But can you inform the listeners? You know, what does that mean?
Sure. So for me, local goodness just means anything. It's just, you know, it encompasses not only the product, but like the feeling you get when you buy that product and you know that you're supporting your neighbors down the road and things like that. So I'll throw some random kind of facts and statistics at you. When you go to Fred Meyer's and you buy, you know, a bell pepper from South America or, you know, an avocado from Mexico or something like that, the farmers get, on average, 11 cents of every dollar that you spend. The majority of that money goes to the distribution companies and the retail companies that are, you know, on the multiple steps of that chain in between the farmer and your plate. When you buy from a store like mine, the farmers get 40 to 80 cents of every dollar. So it's a huge, and then, of course, when you buy directly from the farmer at the farmer's market, that's the most ideal scenario because they are getting all of that money. But it is incredible how we undervalue our farmers when they're the ones that are literally working to feed us. And the whole system is kind of designed to support that through farm subsidies and things like that. So, but anyway, so by supporting local, you are putting money directly back into your community. Speaking to the nutrition point, so when vegetables are harvested elsewhere on these large commercial farms, when that vegetable is kind of slotted to travel thousands of miles, which it does, you know, in our case, it doesn't always travel that far, but in our case, it absolutely does, right? They have to harvest early. So they harvest before the vegetable is fully ripe, which means that it doesn't have its like maximum nutritional, you know, it's the vitamins and minerals are going to be on the lower side. The nutrients are going to be on the lower side. And then as it travels, once you sever it from the plant, it's actually going to start consuming its own vitamins and nutrients to try to like stay alive and stay healthy, right? So by the time it gets to your plate, you have a much less nutrient-dense product than you would if it was harvested while it's ripe, put on a shelf, sold a couple of days, and then eaten a couple of days later.
Right.
And on that note, let's go to break, and we'll be right back around the corner.
Thank you.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Oh, we love our cars.
It's kind of a squeak, squeak sound.
Yeah, the engine makes a tick, tick, tick noise.
It's got no heat, and it's winter.
It goes bump, bump, bam.
It seems to be leaking something.
Problems we've all had with our cars. So get it to Pearson Auto with their state-of-the-art facility. They'll quickly diagnose the problem and get your rig humming along again. Only from Pearson Auto, off the Rich near North Pole and in West Fairbanks by the airport. Pearson Auto, your dealership alternative.
Hey, why is this light on?
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you.
But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the mountains of Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, and Utah.
The deserts of Arizona and Nevada. The Pacific coasts of Washington, Oregon, and California.
To the wilderness of Alaska and islands of Hawaii and Guam.
We are here. Here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference.
Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
KFAR weather.
High temperatures reach up to 4 above today. Under mainly sunny skies, winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, chance of snow, lows around 7 below. High temperatures reach up to 4 above. Tomorrow, snow likely. 1 to 3 inches of snow tonight through Wednesday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 34 degrees below zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hello, Fairbanks, and welcome back to Problem Corner. Remember, you can call in 458-TALK. That's 458-TALK. And now we're going to turn the show back over to Kirk.
Thank you. And we're here with Erica, the owner of the Roaming Root Cellar, talking about local farming, local ingredients. We'll get into local artisans, too. But why buy local? And we were just discussing transporting food up here, fruits and vegetable product. And I think I had read somewhere the average produce, and this is probably the lower 48, is 2,500 miles. I don't know if that's same for...
I'm not sure what the average distance is, but I know it's astounding. I was in Fred Meyer's the other day talking to them at their seafood counter. And I was like, oh, well, you know, like what hears from Alaska, because we have such we have an amazing, as we all know, a seafood industry here. So I was like, well, what from this counter is Alaskan? And he's like, oh, well, the salmon's Alaskan, but it's processed in Seattle. And so you catch the fish in Alaska, ship it down to Seattle, and then bring it back up.
We have a caller. Cool. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes. Talk about the proper temperature and the proper moisture content. What are those magic numbers?
So that would actually probably be a question better suited to someone who actually grows and stores them. So I buy the produce from the farmer as I need it. It depends a little bit on the vegetable as well. But I think from what I know, you want the temperature to be around like 36 to 45 degrees. And that's for most crops. There will be a little bit of variability. As for the moisture, I don't know what the actual moisture, like the measurable moisture content would be, but usually just like a damp paper towel, you know, on the bottom of a 5-gallon bucket or something like that is kind of the best way to go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, sorry that's not super clear. That's one of the drawbacks of being the retailer and not the grower.
Yeah, you see, because I just store my potatoes in the garage and this time of year, now they're starting to root.
Yes, yeah.
And then around December, they start to soften up also, so it's a little bit of a tricky situation. I don't have a root cellar. I guess if I had a root cellar, that would make a difference. But, yeah, that's you know, I can't use the potatoes after a certain time. And although they're ready to plant, I mean, come straight up, which is, there's an advantage there, I suppose, because they come up a lot quicker. But trying to store them all year would be a good thing, I suppose. But.
Absolutely. So yeah, I know potatoes, you don't really want any moisture. You want them dry. And light can be, you know, if you're opening and closing your garage door and things like that, the light can trigger that growth to a bit or to a certain degree. But again, if you want, I'm not the expert, but I could put you in touch with someone who stores potatoes all year round. So if you wanted to actually email me at our business address, I could put you in touch with someone who would know much better.
Oh, okay.
Would that?
That would help.
Okay. So our address is Connect, C-O-N-N-E-C-T.
Uh-huh.
At roamingrootak.com.
Cool. I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I'm sorry I can't be of more help, but yeah, if I see that email come through, I will, I'll happily put you in touch with the people who do know better.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. So it makes me think about, I don't store potatoes or, but what, I mean, what a smart idea. What a great idea. One for, you know, for the economics of it, but I know you want to talk about security of the supply chain, and I want to let you expound on that a little.
Sure. So food security is a term that there's multiple organizations in Alaska that work just towards promoting food security here. And the term food security, it's not one I've ever heard before I moved up here, but it refers to basically the consistency of our supply chain in relation to food and its potential for disruption due to, you know, natural disasters or, you know, protests, you know, or, yeah, trucker strikes, things like
that.
We
have another caller again.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air.
Well, hi. The sun certainly is increasing, food security subsistency is a topic. Thank you, ladies, for bringing it up.
Yeah.
I think interior, subarctic interior Alaskans like yourselves perhaps need to start a network to identify agriculturally usable parcels here in the interior for just that same reason, the insecurity, the food insecurity that Alaska could easily experience as our continent's largest peninsula. I'm not from somewhere else. Before I close, I'd like to point out that they're starting to give shots on school district property that was identified at the Westmark here some Friday ago by a school district official. Children should not be subject
to
these shots.
Can we talk okay.
So, yeah, we'll focus on the food supply chain piece of that phone call.
Yeah, well, he had an interesting point about, I think what he was getting at was creating like a register for like basically farmable land or land suited to agriculture. And I know that the Alaska Farmland Trust protects farmland in the Palmer-Wasilla area, but I don't know if that extends the interior or not. Anyway, I appreciate that suggestion. It's something that I'll bring up, you know, amongst some of the ag invested people I work with.
So what about security? I mean, so if we get the truckers in Canada, we're not getting all of our produce. I mean, Melissa, I think you talked about you've been in Fred's and you see supply shortages and
there are signs everywhere.
It's a scary thing.
Yeah, it is.
And
we're not
in Hawaii with David and can go pick fruit out of
a
tree.
But we are. We're in a sticky situation. If you've been to Fred Meyer in the last couple weeks, you've been there. I mean, just yesterday I was there picking up a couple groceries, and I mean, there's signs plastered everywhere talking about supply chain issues, shipping problems, and things like that. And before this whole trucker thing in Canada and stuff, this was already an issue, you know?
Yes.
Trying to get employees at the docks, trying to get enough truckers out there to truck everything, COVID kind of took a toll on our shipping docks and things like that.
It has.
And so, and then you put in what's going on with the truckers, and that just amounts to it all. So times are scary, especially in Alaska, where they say, what is it? We've got about a 3-day supply for all of us up
that
here.
That is, yeah. So actually, going back to your original question of why I specifically started doing this, one catalyst event that I was like, okay, we need to, this is a serious issue up here, was the earthquake in 2011. I think it was November 2011. So I was out of the military, but I was working on base as a logistics civilian, DOD civilian, and we were in the process of doing a very large move down to the port of Anchorage, you know, moving the Strikers out and things. And that earthquake happened, and since we were doing rail operations at the time, I think we got a little more inside information, but the rail line was damaged. Thankfully, it wasn't severely damaged. They had it up and running again within 3 days.
Yep.
But we have one rail line.
Yep.
And we have two ports. We have the Port of Whittier and the Port of Anchorage. And if either of those three things are damaged, we don't get food.
Back during that earthquake, I remember things were kind of like they were now. I remember this, like, I was working at Walgreens at the time, and our shelves were very empty. There was no milk. There was no produce. There was having a hard time getting the chicken and the hamburger here, and the prices on it soared. And it was kind of very similar of what's going here, you know, a crack in the rail line, and we're done for.
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, I mean, before people go out and start buying all the toilet paper again. Like,
please don't. Things, we need it too.
Things, you know, things can be flown in.
Yes.
Like, we are rich in landing strips and airfields that are large enough to hold some seriously sized cargo planes.
Yep.
But, you know, there's a cost to that too. And it does take time to mobilize that. So, so food security is basically the act of trying to increase our ability to maintain a consistent supply chain. And the best way to do that is to provide for ourselves, right? Which I think is something that resonates with Alaskans.
Yes.
Like, I think having spent most of my life in the lower 48 moving up here, like, I love, fully embrace the idea of the self-sufficiency that kind of defines, I think, most people who live here. So.
Well, like my husband says, you know, it's one of those things where not very many people are fortunate in the fact of, if so, my husband's this huge conspiracy, you know, into the conspiracies. There's a lot of them out there, and, you know, but, like, he's one of those that it's like, you know, if the stuff was to hit the fan, we have the ability to go out and hunt. We have the ability.
Yeah.
There's plentiful rivers and lakes and moose and caribou, and there's plentiful things here. We're very fortunate in that fact. The lower 48, it's not so much the same there. Yeah, they have it easier because they can get things quicker, but...
My son's not a doomsday prepper, but he talks.
He does
talk about it. He goes, "Hey, what if, you know, some country
goes,
hey, well, and you know, they're gonna take Eielson for Wainwright, the pipeline, and
it's very
he knows what distance we need to go. He's got a survival checklist of stuff we throw in a vehicle, and food's
it's
we need to eat.
We do. So, yeah, there's a lot of initiatives that we can talk about after our next break.
We got about a minute and a half, so keep going.
So, yeah, so that's kind of like the worst case scenario, right? Like, bad things happen. We don't get food. But there's always the positive side to every story.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really good stuff happening in the state that is working to increase food security.
I can't wait to hear about it.
So,
and also when we come back from break, after we talk a little bit more about food security, then I want to take a deep dive, if you can, into products that you have and then where you're sourcing them from.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
We'll be back around the corner.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fox News. News, I'm Karen McHugh. They're lifting some COVID restrictions in the nation's capital.
A requirement for D.C. businesses to check the vaccine status of patrons will expire tomorrow, Mayor Muriel Bowser says, and an indoor mask mandate for many places will be lifted at the end of the month. Bowser says hospitalizations are down 95%. After March 1st, masks will still be required in D.C. schools, health centers, libraries, and public transit.
Fox's Jared Halpern. The U.S., NATO, and Russia are still talking about Ukraine.
While Western leaders are warning Russia could attack Ukraine any day now, Russian President Vladimir Putin is hinting at more diplomacy. Putin met with his foreign minister today, and Sergei Lavrov recommended holding further talks with Western countries. He said the United States had put forward concrete proposals on security compromises.
Fox's Simon Owen. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin's defamation case against the New York Times is winding down with a jury hearing closing arguments. Palin's lawyer told jurors Friday at the Manhattan trial that a Times editorial falsely linking Palin to a mass shooting was a libelous display of arrogance and unchecked power. A Times lawyer conceded the newspaper had made a mistake, but argued there was no evidence it had set out to harm Palin's reputation. The jury briefly deliberated at the end of the day without reaching a verdict. If it finds there was libel, it can set monetary damages. Tax receipts from surging gun and ammunition sales have boosted money for a U.S. conservation program to a record level. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says excise taxes on guns, ammunition, and archery equipment brought in $1.1 billion to be doled out in state grants in 2022 for wildlife conservation and hunter education. A related program for fish restoration brought in almost $400 million from taxes on fishing equipment and boat fuel. The group says ammunition sales have also been up sharply during the pandemic.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
At Batteries Plus, they do more than fix phones and tablets. They help our neighbors power their lives. Visit Batteries Plus in-store, curbside, and online at BatteriesPlus.com.
Losing a loved one is challenging for any family. The emotional hardship that follows can make it difficult to focus on ensuring that your deceased loved one's affairs are put in order. Do not face the challenges of administering a family member's estate alone. The attorneys at Berglund and Doxy can help you navigate the complexities of Alaska's probate laws and represent you in court. Berglund and Doxy, over 45 years of combined legal experience. Contact them at 456-4020 or online at berglunddoxy.com. In-person and telephonic consultations are available.
Don't miss 50-50 Friday on KFAR. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m. sharp, we offer up amazing gift certificates from different local businesses. That's when they go on sale for half price. From incredible food offers to fantastic services, you'll get it for half price every Friday at 9 a.m. So don't miss out on this offer.
This week, it's the Cheesehead Joint. It's comfort food with an attitude. We're talking mac and cheese of every kind, like the Miss Piggy Mac, loaded grilled cheese, or loaded tater tots that are mind-blowing. And you gotta try their cereal milk. Milkshakes. Tons of flavors, countless combinations. It's the Cheesehead Joint off Murhar Avenue, connected to Good Titrations, where you can even order their food in the Cannabis Cafe. This week, get a $30 certificate for half price. The Cheesehead Joint, this week's 50-50 Friday offer.
This Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website at KFAR660.com. Simply click on the red 50-50 ticket in the upper right-hand corner and get your gift certificate for half price. That's 50-50 Friday at KFAR660.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Hello, Fairbanks, and welcome back to Problem Corner. Remember, you can call in 458-TALK. That's 907-458-TALK. Turning the conversation back to Kirk.
Hi, we're here with Erica and Mueller, correct? Moeller, I'm so sorry.
Like the tooth.
Yeah. Owner of the Roaming Root Cellar, located over on the west side in the Chinapon Plaza. Yeah. And I think we've talked about the doomsday, what could happen, yeah. Why it's important to keep product on hand, how to get that product. But let's talk about the positive side of that.
Yeah. So, thankfully, there's a lot of people at different levels in our state that see this as a problem and recognize, you know, the potential severity of it and are working to fix it. So there's, first of all, some really cool stats about farming in Alaska. We have the second average, this is nationwide, the second youngest average age of farmers. And we are the state that is experiencing the most growth in farming. Also, the majority of our farms are 10 acres or less, which means that it's like a lot of just neighbors feeding their neighbors, right? It's people with like a large garden and they've registered as a farm and they're either selling their stuff on maybe Marketplace or giving it away or trading it, things like that. So
that's kind of awesome. We do have a caller. Caller, you are on the air.
Mutual assistance packs, food sustainability, community assistance packs, identification of agriculturally viable properties, and just neighborhood mutual assistance packs. You can do that at this time for all the right reasons. And I'd also like to remind you the first eight words of Alaska's Constitution is, we the people of Alaska grateful unto God. We should not have to be ashamed for wanting to maintain our own sustainability through our own resources. Be it the 90-10 or the PFD, people should rally down to their LIO and send out POMs, I mean, for themselves and their kids. Parents should pull their kids from the public school
system.
Okay,
thank you, sir, so much for your call.
Yeah, we just need to stay on topic. we're here about locally grown food and produce. So, do you know what he was saying regarding the packs?
I don't. Okay. It does remind me of are like the victory gardens during World War II, though. You know, I think there was this initiative during World War II for everyone to just grow their own food and turn their yards into garden space and things like that. And when he was talking about just like that community assistance package, that's kind of what popped into my mind.
So we have the second most startup farms, or
so we have the nationwide, the number of farms in the state are like, we're growing. Like the number of farms that we have is outpacing the rest of the nation.
So other than the obvious, which is 40 below, why don't we see more farms around Fairbanks?
So in Fairbanks in particular, it's really a difficult place to have a farm that's large enough for people to farm and make money off of. And a lot of that has to do with our geography, right? Like we're surrounded by hills on all sides. So in order to have a really productive farm, you would need some south-facing land. You need to not be in the permafrost swampy areas, like, you know, the bottom of Goldstream Valley type deal. So land is not super accessible here in large quantities. But there are enough parcels that are like, you know, 1 to 5 acres, that there really isn't any reason why you, Melissa, Kirk, you guys couldn't, start a garden. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it'd be amazing how much food you can get from a small plot like that. I mean, you could easily feed yourself for a few months.
Yeah. My dad would, we had a little, I wouldn't even call it much more than like, probably 7 lanes of stuff growing. You know, we had peas and tomatoes and we had some lettuce and stuff.
Yeah.
And my mom, cucumbers, my mom and dad, they'd can it all. We'd had stuff for at least 6 to 8 months off of a tiny plot.
Yeah, so it's amazing.
It is amazing how much you can produce.
And so one of the cool initiatives that, I don't know if Governor Walker or Governor Dunleavy started it, but the Alaska Grown Initiative, I'm not going to speculate. I'm not sure who started it, but... the Alaska Grown Initiative is basically a challenge to consumers to spend $5 a week for 6 months out of the year on Alaska grown produce, right? Which is, I mean, I spent $3 on my tea this morning. So $2 more and I would have hit my weekly Alaska grown benchmark. And if everyone in the state were to do that, it would generate tens of millions of dollars back into our local economy. There's also a challenge for retailers, and if there are any business owners that are listening to this now that has Alaskan-grown produce or products that they sell, you should look into this. The Golden Carrot Award is something that we won this year. We were the first small business to win it, and we were the first business in the interior to win it. And what it is a challenge to retailers to highlight their Alaskan-grown products, and you get, you know, kind of judged on the creativity of your displays and the number of different products you have and things like that. So that's a really big initiative. There's some really cool initiatives to get like hydroponics systems out into the villages. I know a couple of people that have gone and like worked to set them up in schools. So that way the schools are kind of growing their own lettuce and their greens and things throughout the year.
Yeah, I think I've seen that Monroe, which drove by the West Valley.
Yeah, I actually looked it up. It was actually Dunleavy who did it. And
oh, really?
There's all kinds of information.
Cool.
It's insane. That is incredible.
It's a really, really cool initiative.
Yeah.
Like Alaska grown. And it's the blue circle with the yellow
yep.
Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
Yeah. No, and my wife goes bonkers if we can't get Alaska grown carrots. So, it's, and I agree. I mean, they taste better. They're healthier for you.
There's a reason for that too.
We haven't cut chemicals all of our life, but I've talked to a couple of nutritionists, and there's chemicals everywhere, obviously, and they're causing all sorts of. Anytime you can get locally grown.
Think about chemicals. I mean, you can see it if you grow a tomato yourself. Go buy one at a supermarket, you're going to see the chemicals right now. The supermarket tomato will be twice the size of the one you grow at home.
Yeah.
GMOs. Exactly. And we ebb and flow out of clean eating, too, in our family. We're somewhere in that clean eating spectrum. I remember the old rule of thumb is if you can't spell it or if you can't pronounce it, then you probably should be putting it in your body.
Go.
So we try to hold true to that. And a lot of that can be shown with what we put in our body and what we eat. And, locally grown is
that's
definitely
awesome.
It. So let's talk about your products, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
You guys have Alaska grown produce. You have Alaska Gifts. And you guys have it all year long, which astounds me. And you talked about the beets and some other things, so I want you to touch on that. But I mean, I'm going to rattle off a few that just jumped out at me. So, and then we'll take a deep dive into where these things are sourced. But you guys have fish and meat, which blows me away. Which a couple of my favorite things, of course. Alaska spices. You have that spit salt. I want to know what that is. Milk. I think you're now getting out of Delta, maybe from another dairy before that closed down.
It's not that one. Yeah.
Deep dive into that. Sauces. Moustard.
Yep.
Went to school with those guys.
Oh, cool.
Cojitos. I figured they're going to be Doritos, but salmon jerky. So those look kind of cool. I'm a sucker for jerky. So. Teas. Maybe we can talk about chog at some point.
Yeah.
There's chog over at my yard. Coffee, chog. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. So I don't know which one you want to jump into first.
So I'll start by saying that we work with over 200 Alaskan small businesses. So that is 200 families that, I'm ordering more as the products sell, as you guys come and buy these products, I'm ordering more from these families and cutting them checks for it, which goes to their mortgages and, their kids' soccer games and things like that. So it's a very, for me, it's a very personal mission, but anyway, so 200 businesses are what we support. And we have everything from, as you said, the milk is from Alaska Range Dairy in Delta Junction. They just opened up with milk a couple of years ago. It's owned by the Plagermans. They're a well-known family in Delta. They've been in the farming community for a while. But they just opened this dairy and I have to get down there and see this still, but they have robotic milkers. I had no idea.
Those things are awesome.
I had no idea this was a thing.
Yes.
But the cows are like trained to walk into their stalls or their stands.
Yeah, they put their head in a thing and then it attaches and it does all the work and then it detaches and the cow goes away and in comes the next one.
So it saves the farmer a lot of time, I'm sure. But it also, like, the cows don't have to be milked at a certain time. Like when their udders feel full, they're trained to go and kind of take care of it themselves, which is really cool.
That's crazy.
And their milk comes in glass bottles, which I've had so many people say that they haven't seen that since they were,
school.
A young kid, which is really cool. The dairy that you briefly mentioned was down in the Palmer, Wasilla area, and I'm blanking on the name right now, but unfortunately they closed earlier this year after being in the same family for almost a century, unfortunately. The milk, we have fish and seafood, fish. We get like shrimp, scallops a couple times a year, things like that. We get fresh oysters once every month. They all come from Alaskan farms. And I do make sure, like I said, the stuff in Fred's gets processed down in Seattle and brought back up. I make sure that's actually processed here in the state. That's a very specific question I ask them. We have beef, pork, and lamb that comes from a farm in Delta that has like these amazing, just sustainable agricultural practices, pasture rotations. They finish them on barley from another farm in Delta versus shipping in corn and soy from Lower 48. We have a lot of the spit salt comes from the Alaska Salt Company, which is located on the Homer Spit, hence the name.
Got it.
That's what he was thinking.
So that's just hand harvested sea salt that they like infuse with different flavors and herbs and things like that. But we have a wide range of like seasonings and sauces and salsas and hot sauces, a lot of kelp products since that's a growing industry in the state, which is, it's really exciting to kind of see the things that are happening with that. And then on the complete opposite side of the store, we have jewelry, pottery. We have, rolling pins and like wooden kitchen utensils. We have hand-dyed scarves and we have books that are by Alaskan authors and pertain to, life in Alaska. All sorts of
I'm thinking.
Do you have the lady that makes the cool oven mitts? Do you have that
one? I do.
I love her.
Those oven mitts are amazing.
They are. I've got a couple of pairs of them now. Yeah. I absolutely love it. She's so great.
Yeah, she really is.
But if you ever have a, you know, a birthday or a, yep. just any reason to give a gift, if somebody's outside of Fairbanks or outside of Alaska, what a great place to go to achieve that gift.
And on that note, we are going to go ahead and go to our final break. We'll see you around the corner.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks Urology is a vasectomy center of excellence and an expert care provider for men's health needs with Dr. Tony Nima.
Fairbanks Urology has a new vasectomy technique. This makes it almost pain-free, less than 15 minutes for the procedure, and way more affordable.
Fairbanks Urology, providing experts in vasectomy procedures, and many of their patients experience very short recovery time. To learn more and receive a discount on your vasectomy procedure, visit the vasectomy page at fairbanksurology.com.
When it comes to your auto repair and maintenance, you have a lot of options, and it's hard to find an honest and reliable auto shop. That's where Pager Road Auto comes in, with providing their customers with honest quality service and reasonable prices for all makes and models. Offering an active duty and veterans discount on parts with a 3-year, 36,000-mile labor warranty, you just can't go wrong. Stop into your locally owned and operated Pager Road Auto Repair today at 1904 Pager Road, a proud Napa Auto Care facility, or call 479-6162 to book your appointment today.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Alignments protect your vehicle's steering system as it extends the life of your tires. Book yours at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
High temperatures reach up to 4 above today under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the northeast, around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, chance of snow, lows around 7 below. High temperatures reach up to 4 above tomorrow, snow likely. 1 to 3 inches of snow tonight through Wednesday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 34 degrees below zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hello, Fairbanks, and welcome back to Problem Corner. You can call in 458-TALK. That's 458-TALK. Going to turn the conversation back over to Kirk.
Thank you, Melissa. I'm here with Erica Moeller from the Rusted Root, the Roaming Root, Rusted Root. That's old school. Roaming Root Cellar, located on the west side in the Chinapon Plaza. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
We left off here, we're taking a deep dive into where all this stuff comes from, because I bet you a lot of people are shocked. Hey, we don't normally see this up here, so where are y'all getting this stuff?
So we were talking a little earlier off the air about the number of farmers markets that are popping up around the interior, which is an amazing initiative. And I'm so glad that there's like so many options for people who live out in Salcha or Goldstream or something. But so I go to a lot of farmers markets and I network there and just see new products, things like that. Anytime I go to Anchorage, I'm always kind of like, there's certain stores that I know support local and I'll go kind of look around there. I spend like an unhealthy amount of time on Instagram. I at least can like claim it. It's really that and just like a lot of word of mouth. And I've gotten to the point now where I have more people approaching me saying, hey, this is what I do. Are you interested? You know, things like that, which makes my life easier.
Neat.
But it's also really cool to know that, you know, a lot of these people approach us because I think we have a reputation for giving new and or lesser known artists a chance, right? Like,
neat.
Our whole thing is supporting local and supporting community. So I don't require that you provide me with X number pairs of earrings a month or whatever. It's like, as you can make them, send them to me. If it's a side gig for you, you know, that kind of thing, like, cool. Like, just do it as you're able to. And, you know, and my customers, like, the great thing is that my customers have kind of come to expect that maybe we just don't always have everything in stock.
Yeah.
You know, and like it's always changing.
That's what I like about it. It's
always changing.
Always changing. It's a variety, and every time you go in there, there's going
to
be something different.
If I
different,
wanted
so.
The same, you can go to Fred Meyer. You know, I know that I can get this at Fred Meyer. I know I can get this at Walmart. Like, I'm looking for something different, something unique, and that's where you find it.
I don't know. Yep. It feels weird going into Fred Meyer's and going into the what's the little section there?
The
souvenir.
Alaska.
Yeah. Souvenir. It just feels, feels wrong.
It feels dirty.
So, where are. So, you go to farmers markets. I mean, I. told you off air too that we go anywhere we go, whether it be a big city yes. or a small town. I mean, it could be 10 people. We go to a farmer's market or a produce stand. We're big believers, and we like good food. But where around the state, you know, we got our local farmer's market, but is there anywhere else if we're traveling around the borough or the...
So Summit Spice and Tea in Anchorage has an awesome collection of stuff. I love that store. Blue Market AK is also in Anchorage, and their whole thing is what's the containerless mm-hmm. or packageless products. So they do like a lot of, you know, they try to be like plastic free, stuff like that. But they have a large selection of Alaska grown, Alaskan made products. Just different yeah. places like that.
I know that during the summertime, Anchorage has the downtown market, mm-hmm. outdoor
yes.
market that they
yeah.
do. And that's usually pretty phenomenal. It's, yep. It is very reminiscent of our farmer's market that you have on Saturdays and Wednesdays over off College Road. They've got the food and the drinks, and then yeah. they've got all the crafted stuff and the vegetables and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we'll actually stay at a hotel that is in walking proximity yeah. of the farmer's market for
that's
that
awesome.
For that specific purpose. And I think they do 2 days there, right? Saturday and Sunday? Or they used to.
Where? At?
In Anchorage.
Oh, yes. I'm not sure. Okay.
I do believe it's on the weekends. It's Saturdays and Sundays, and then they wrap it up.
Is there anywhere else in the borough that we can go? You know, Saltra, I feel like I drive
by.
Maybe
so, I don't know the dates for all of them, but I do know that I feel like almost every year there's new farmers markets being added to like the list. There's the Goldstream Farmers Market now, and there's a Goldstream Community Garden at the Ken Kunkel Community Center that's 1 or 2 years old at this point. There's a farmer's market in Salcha. Calypso Farm runs the Southside Community Farmer's Market. And, like, I can't say enough about what Calypso does for the community.
Yeah.
They're such a great farm to support. There is the Two Rivers Farmer's Market. And then, of course, like, all the Christmas bazaars are a really great place to
Maybe
find new artisans.
Maybe it is Calypso I'm thinking of, but I think it might be different. The one that's in the Apple Place in Goldstream, is that Calypso or is that, they usually like, they have a big old farm on the, like if you're going out towards Goldstream over by Goldstream Sports.
Oh, Anne's Greenhouse.
There you go.
Yes,
Anne's
Greenhouse.
There's also that one.
They're
phenomenal.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And they'll actually sell produce directly. Like if, you know, I think starting like in August, maybe late July, you can go and you can just buy produce directly from them.
Yeah, we certainly do that. I actually grew up next to Anne's Greenhouse. We had 40 acres that bordered Anne's,
awesome.
And so we'd take our St. Bernard and go over there, and he'd run through and knock plants over. And
I'm sure Linda loved that.
But it's that's an awesome place.
It is, yeah.
And speaking of farmers, so is there – Calypso was really cool, educational piece to take the kids. I think I went on a field trip as a parent, but is there other farms that are out there?
I've looked at so many.
I looked at your farmers on your website. So feel free to go to your website, roamingrouteak.com. But is there any, if we want to take our kids there or anybody to get educated on farms?
So I don't know of any farms that like explicitly do farm tours like Calypso does.
Okay.
I think they're definitely the best one for like the best well-rounded education. Though I'm sure, and like, you know, they do farmer training programs and things like that. But I'm sure if you contacted any of the farmers in the area, they'd be happy to give you a tour. And actually, one of the things we're going to be starting this summer, now that we're not making any like significant business changes finally, one of the things we're going to be doing is starting a YouTube channel where we go out to the farms that we work with, take, a short video, kind of walk through their fields, get to know them a little bit, and we're going to put that up on a TV in the store and just put it on loop. And the whole goal of that is to tell these farmers' stories, right? Like our connection.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. Connection is like our big thing. We want people to feel connected to their food and the people who grow it. And I think we'll increase that by telling their stories, so you can learn exactly where and how your food is being prepared.
I think it's important. I know my father-in-law was up maybe 5 years ago, and somebody closer to us set up a behind-the-scenes tour with Bernie out at Chino Hot Springs.
Yeah.
And, he's got all sorts of crazy going on out there. I mean, good crazy, too. If you've ever eaten his tomatoes, holy cow. Man, every time we go eat tomatoes, so good. But he's got some pretty cool stuff going on. I think he had a banana tree going. And
oh, cool. So there's actually Manly Hot Springs has something similar. They use the geothermal heat. We sold grapes. Grapes.
Oh, wow.
last summer. Yeah.
Wow. Alaskan grapes.
I had no clue.
I had no idea.
Someone texted me a picture, I think like last winter or so, and they're like, I saw these grapes, and they said locally grown, like you should try to find them. And I'm like, no. Local meaning Washington, right? Come on. And sure enough, out at Manly Hop Springs, there is a
grapevine.
Very small vineyard,
wow.
where they
That's crazy.
People amaze me. People legit amaze me because the things we can come up with and figure out.
I know, right?
Things we can, like, we can grow things at 35 below zero.
Yeah.
You know, and we have no problem doing it.
What about apples? I remember listing a house, and it was on top of, it was off Yankovic. I can't remember where it was at. Nottingham. But there was an apple orchard there.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? We have apple? I've been here all my life, and there's apples. And then people have been, in the last 10 years, have been bringing me apples to eat.
Yeah, there's apples here. Stuff.
So Claire's Cultivations is the largest apple orchard in the interior, I believe. There's a more down, like, on the peninsula and further south of us. But, yeah, so I think most of them need to be, like, crabapple crosses. Because the crab apples are a little, and like you have to make sure you're at like a little bit of a higher elevation and, you know, the soils stay a little bit warmer, things like that. But it is 100% possible. It is absolutely possible.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Now, when people come into your store, do you ever give them tips on stuff that they're buying or hints or cooking tips?
Oh, I try to. Yeah. I get people all the time who are like, oh, I just need a gift for like my mother-in-law and I have no idea. I'm like, all right, well, you know, tell me about her. What does she do? And I'll help them put together packages. I'll say one of my like go-to products is birch syrup, and that's because it's only produced in a couple of places around the world. It has to be produced in kind of a circumpolar north region, and so maple syrup, 50 to 60 gallons of maple sap will create 1 gallon of syrup. For birch syrup, you need 100 gallons of sap to boil down to 1 gallon of syrup.
Oh, wow.
So it's very unique. It's very labor intensive, but it's that's like one of the quintessentially Alaskan products that I think I carry.
Do you mind us touching on chaga real quick?
Of course not.
And I didn't know anything about chaga until chaga tea.
Yeah.
Somebody was renting from my father. And I'm like, what is chaga? And he showed me it. And he actually showed me his mother load of chaga. I think he took me to his house or somewhere. He showed me a big load of chaga. And so what can you tell us about it? Is it good for you? Does it cure cancer? Does it?
I don't know if any of that has been substantiated with like, you know, large scale scientific studies, but it does have, it's purported to have like really serious health benefits. It is a mushroom fungus that grows on birch trees, and you can harvest it and dry it and mix it in with your tea. It has a very earthy taste. So I personally, if I'm drinking it, I like to mix it with a tea. Like a mango black tea or something like that has a little bit of sweetness to it. It's got a lot of antioxidants, a lot of vitamins and minerals. It's kind of the things that I've seen, it's kind of touted as like a catch-all for cures to your ailments. And some of the antioxidants are supposedly helps prevent cancers or help people recover from cancer treatments.
And so what products are out there that people can consume? Is chaga tea the number one? Are there other?
Like as far as what I sell?
Yes.
Usually meat, milk, and eggs are my biggest sellers.
Okay.
So which tells me that people just want the staples, right?
Yeah.
Like they want to, and you know, I think eggs especially, like if people only have $10 or less to spend and they want to make an impact in their community, like something like eggs or milk is the easiest way to do it.
Cool.
It's a small product with a far-reaching impact.
It ain't nothing better than some fresh eggs.
Exactly.
And your store, it seems like it's bustling at the seams. It seems like, and I don't, hopefully your landlord isn't listening, but hopefully you can get bigger. It's fun to walk in there. My wife is a big fan. I wouldn't have gone in there with, I wouldn't have known about it without her. And you probably don't recognize me, but I'm either going in there for her or with her. So we've been there several times. We love your place. We love locally grown food. We're quasi foodies. So we have been for 25 years and we love to grow. We love to eat and use local ingredients. So
awesome.
When we can. Anything else? I'm going to give you the last word. Anything else you want to
I just want to thank you so much for having me. Like any sort of exposure like this is good exposure. And it's not just good for me, but it's good for the 200 families that we support. So thank you for that. And if anyone's looking to find us, again, our website is www.roamingrouteak.com. And we're located in the Chena Pump Plaza. We are open 7 days a week, 11 to 6 Monday through Friday, 10 to 5 on Saturday, and 11 to 5 on Sunday. So
awesome.
We hope you're able to stop by and we can connect you with local goodness.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you, Melissa, for hosting. Thank you, David, for being in Hawaii.
Bring us back something pretty.
Yes. And apples?
Yes.
Have
mangoes.
A great one, Fairbanks.
Thank you.
News and Conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K248.